sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Grace!
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show, and a happy Friday to all of you. TGIF. I know I have haters who, anytime I say, thank God it's Friday, they're like, stop wishing your life away. I don't, and that, you know what, Jared?
What?
People are nuts. That affected me for a while.
Is this like, Lawrence O'Donnell saying this?
I was like, is that what people think I'm doing? Because I say happy Monday, happy Tuesday, happy Wednesday, happy hump day, happy Friday.
How dare you be happy?
But it's like, yeah, I do look forward to the weekend. Isn't that the song? Everybody's working for the weekend. What's wrong with that? And we have a lot to cover on this gorgeous Friday afternoon. Artemis crew preparing to come back splashdown at, I think it's at 8:07 p.m. tonight. A lot of deadlines tonight at 8 o'clock, or sorry, this week at 8 o'clock. But if you can, if you're out there, if you're the praying type, which I think we all should be at this point, say a prayer for them, because these men and women are very, very brave people. This has been a really cool thing to watch. And I know that I was listening to not one of the astronauts, but somebody who has a lot of expertise in this on the news this morning. And he was saying, there's an incredible amount of steps that have to go right. And whenever you're dealing with something like that, it's scary. It's scary to watch it. It's nerve-wracking. And I think these men and women have made us very proud. So I hope they come back and are safe. And I hope it's just a great night.
I just thought about that. We were talking earlier about how the president's not going to Palm Beach tonight. He probably, protocol-wise, has to stay near the White House just in case something happens.
Do you
and
think
he needs
that's
to address the nation?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I looked at his public schedule. I'm not sure. We could be wrong on that. That thing is kind of subject to change. That's just what it said right now. But you could be right on that, Jared.
Yeah, probably just as like a protocols of whatever type thing.
But I guess they had to change the reentry plan because of something to do with the heat shield or something. There's a lot of things I pretend to know about. I'm not going to pretend on this one. Jared will probably be, you could use your Battlestar Galactica jargon and maybe fool people in the audience, but not me. All right, so we have a lot to break down for you this afternoon. Stay with us for the next 2 hours. It's going to be a fun time, including more drama over the Strait of Hormuz and this kind of eroding two-week ceasefire. I will say this. I'm very optimistic about what's happening from this White House, how they're managing a lot of these foreign policy issues. I know that there's panickins out there. I don't subscribe to that mentality. Mostly because I don't see the point. Like, I would rather trust in Trump and a lot of this stuff and maybe be disappointed later than spend my life in a constant panic saying the sky is falling and the walls. I read this today from somebody. The walls are closing in. And I thought, how many times can walls close in on one person? Walls closing in for me, Jared, I feel like that's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing. Maybe you get the walls closing in on you twice, but Trump at this point, this is his 500th time of the walls closing in, and
well,
they have yet to do
there's a lot of walls at Mar-a-Lago.
There's
so
a
I
lot
guess
of walls.
Gotta go through them all.
I can't understand how people, they just love to be in a perpetual state of anxiety and panic. That's not the way I roll. But what I will say is, and I hope I'm proven wrong in this, I'm not crazy about the ceasefire thing. I just think it's prolonging. We know it's not going to be successful. We know we can't trust the Iranian regime. And it feels like we were on a roll there. And this is just kind of giving the naysayers more time to poke holes in this and to root for Iran, which is really weird. We'll play some sound cuts that will blow your mind. Stephanie Roll saying, you got to give it to them. You know, you got to hand it to them. They really believe in something. And on social media, people were noting, you know who really believed in something were the people that were slaughtered by this regime. 45,000 people who took to the streets and actually stood up for what they believed in. And their punishment for that from this regime was they were murdered. But Stephanie Ruhle is, you know, she's giving a hat tip to the mullahs because, hey, you know, they might not be perfect, but you gotta admit they're believers. You know,
they believe that women are subhuman creatures who need to be beaten into submission, but they believe in something.
But come on, Jared, now that's this is what MS now does. They give credit where credit is due, I guess. So we'll talk about all this, but that was just my initial thing I wanted to put out, is that I haven't been a Monday morning quarterback with this conflict in Iran because I really, I voted for Trump because I trust his instincts on a lot of this stuff. I do think that he knows how to negotiate. I really, really like what I've been seeing from Secretary of State Marco Rubio. I think he is brilliant. And Pete Hegseth, who I did defend when he was being confirmed, I defended him against the haters, the Fox News weekend host, alcoholic, womanizer. I like Pete Hegseth, and he has also exceeded my expectations. So there's a lot of people in there that I'm looking to and saying, I think they have the best minds on this. But the first thing I'll say as kind of a negative here is I'm not crazy about this ceasefire, this very fragile ceasefire, because it's just...
because nobody has ceased firing at
nobody
anybody.
Has ceased firing. And now it's like the Strait of Hormuz, and they're supposedly Iran is like putting tolls or fees on these ships, and then Trump's tweeting out, I hope they're not doing this because I really wouldn't like it. It's like, well, of course they're doing it. Like, didn't we know they were going to do this? Maybe there's something here I'm missing. Maybe there's some strategy. As we said before, Jared, and people might think I'm saying this as a cop-out for Trump. I'm really not. But there are things that they know about this war and about this conflict that I am not privy to. So I do think it's just a smart thing to say, hey, this to me doesn't seem like a great idea, but maybe there's something brewing, and then I'll take it all back and I'll eat crow. I'm not opposed to eating crow. So that's what's going on. But speaking of the Strait of Hormuz, speaking of this strait that controls so much of the oil, a fifth of the world oil, we now have the inflation numbers, the CPI numbers. And they rose 0.9% from a month ago, and the CPI is 3.3% higher than last year. Cue the meltdowns. The driver, of course. Actually, I didn't even mean to do that pun, but the driver is the gas. The driver is the gasoline. And the price of oil jumped 10% in March and has been on a rapid rise since the conflict with Iran started in February. And, or as Taylor would say, I know he's not in today, but, you know, it's kind of a welcome back because we'll see him on Monday. That's when this whole thing started. So the price of gas has gone up. I'm sure you guys have noticed. I don't think you're getting this news from me. This is not Fox Chiron breaking news. The price of gas has gone up. And now something that the media will ignore, just like they ignored Biden's inflation, which I think peaked in June of 2022 at 9.1%, I believe that number was. They're also going to ignore what I think is a pretty important detail. Core prices climbed 0.2%. So they were below the 0.3% increase forecasted. So all of this essentially was due to gas. A lot of other things remained pretty cool. Gas, because it increased so much, that CPI ticked up. I'm in no way trying to put a shine on this and be like, everything's great. This is great. I want to pay these gas prices for the rest of my life. But I'm just trying to offer up some details that I think counter what seems to me like a very disingenuous panic narrative being pushed by people who ignored all of this for 4 years. And not only that's actually not giving them credit. And I'm like Stephanie Ruhle, I give credit where credit is due. It's not that they ignored inflation for 4 years. They tried to get us to like inflation when it was Joe Biden.
Well, and even further lying about it, the Joe Biden inflation numbers didn't include fuel and food ever. Because if it included that, it would have been, what was it, like 18%? It would have been like 20-something percent inflation.
Yeah.
If it had those core elements that cause inflation.
But also, Biden would frequently say that when he came into office, prices were at inflation was at 9%. It wasn't. It was like 1.4%. Well,
you can't fight inflation when you're busy fighting Roger Staubach for the starting job at the Navy.
And pulling the German Shepherd's tail. That's taking up time, too. You know, I know people out there going, I pull my dog's tail all the time. But do you do it right when you're getting out of the shower? That slippery element adds minutes to what otherwise is a 5-second.
Yeah, that's what separates the professionals from the amateurs.
Exactly. We got to separate the men from the boys here, okay? I also wanted to mention, big story from yesterday. People were freaking out about Melania Trump, FLOTUS. She took to a podium on camera to debunk a lot of the rumors and speculation that she has connections to Jeffrey Epstein beyond just seeing him in social circles and taking the occasional picture with him. And I wanted to play a little bit of this, Jared, if we could. Do we have a little bit of Melania? No, did I not even ask for it? Maybe I didn't. Well, we'll play some of this. We'll play some of this when we come back. It gives us a nice reason to take a nice break here and then have more time on the other side. But what I thought was funny about this is she comes out and she addresses these lies that have been spread. And she actually specifically named the Daily Beast, James Carville, as people who have put out these lies. And thanks to her lawyers and her legal team, they've had to like retract and apologize to her because they are just spreading really dangerous, easily debunked lies. And so she comes out with this and she calls for Congress to have the victims of Jeffrey Epstein testify in a protected public hearing. And the reactions from people are as follows. And we can break down the ones I think and the ones I don't think. But the reactions of people are as follows. One of them is there's a hit piece coming on Melania Trump and she's trying to get ahead of it. Jared, you actually brought this up today. Some people think
I've seen that. They think this was a get out ahead of it type of thing.
Okay. Which, you know, that's a strategy people do. The other one is that she's trying to distract from the Iran war. And this goes back to something I always make fun of on the show. No matter what I talk about, people go, you're getting distracted. You should be talking about this. They think that Iran was originally the whole reason we had this conflict in Iran. It was not because they were slaughtering 45,000 people and developing nuclear weapons and say death to America and want to kill us all. No. It was because Trump wanted to distract people from the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. The issue I have with that, Jared, there's a few issues, but one of them is the Jeffrey Epstein stuff was already fading out when this conflict started in Iran. I don't think that the Epstein was going to be the end all. There was a minute there where people were like, this is it for Trump. You know, there's a lot of stuff in these Epstein files. He's named a lot. It already had started fading, so I don't think it makes sense. But now we're being told that Iran is such a disaster that they're trying to go back to Epstein to distract from Iran. To buy that, you really have to be like Stephen Colbert. You have to be really in drinking the Kool-Aid from the TDS pool. Now, I would say, and I didn't think either of these things when I first watched it. What I thought was Melania Trump is very tactful. She picks these moments with care and precision. There's been a few things that she's spoken out about over the years. They're things that mean a lot to her. She has now successfully held these people lying about her to account. She's forced them to apologize. But also beyond that, I think that how do you take her wanting these victims to testify and explain what they know under oath as her trying to somehow cover up her involvement in it? That to me, that doesn't make sense. Like, if these victims who have now come out with a statement against Melania Trump because they're mad that she wanted them to have this platform to talk about what happened to them, how do you explain that one to me? She wants these women to share their truth so that she can cover up her own involvement. I don't buy that. And when you look at the work Melania has done as First Lady, think about the Take It Down Act. That was a huge win for Melania. It was something she was very passionate about. It has to do with online safety, especially for children. Anything that's AI created, anything that is inappropriate, you can get it taken down right away. And so this is something that she cares about. There's a lot of AI content out there about her and Jeffrey Epstein that is not true. And she's clearing her name. And at the same time, she's saying, let's hear from these ladies. And you know what? These women, and I'm not trying to attack these women. I'm really not. But they've been going out on the steps of the Capitol. They've been talking about this in front of microphones. Very vague. No one names anyone. And you can say to me, well, they're doing that because they're scared or they want to protect themselves, whatever. But at a certain point, if everyone's going to get lumped in and everyone's going to be accused of partaking in this, you do have to name names. You do have to come out and tell us what you know, because otherwise, everyone can't keep saying to me, why aren't they releasing the files? Why aren't they talking about Jeffrey Epstein? Well, when you have people who supposedly know exactly what happened and we don't hear from them, we're going to keep living in this mystery land of like what actually happened. And so that's how I saw this whole thing. I know people were freaking out, like Jimmy Kimmel and all these people are loving it. Melania is trying to distract from Trump and her involvement. I think she's just saying, hey, let's stop with this chaos and let's hear what actually happened. And you know what? I think this is a big part of the reason Trump was hesitant to do this in the first place. It was because he knew you're going to have idiots like Ro Khanna who are going out reading names on the floor of the Congress and besmirching people who have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein so they can get a couple clicks on Twitter. And then meanwhile, he'll come out and apologize for it. But at that point, these guys, these four names, their reputation's over. They can't go anywhere to get their reputation back. And so you give people a lot of incentive to make stuff up and to disparage people, and you don't give a lot of incentive to the truth and to being responsible with this information. 844-500-4242. We'll talk more about this when we come back. It's The Grace Curley Show.
More of The Grace Curley Show up next. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The crazy part to me about the Epstein stuff is when you see these women who are going on TV, which is their right, and they talk about, in very vague terms, that they're disappointed with the administration or, you know, they don't like this or that. And then if I say, like, okay, well, let's start naming names. You know, there's this whole thing about the list, release the list. But if you guys know the names, then we should hear them. And the response is always like, no one has to answer to you or, you know, you don't understand. But my thing is, but then you're kind of, if everyone else is allowed to be lumped in, and if like Melania Trump, if she's seeing all these lies being spread about her and everybody else, and you go on TV and you kind of just continue on with this shroud of mystery of like, we know who did stuff, but we're not going to say anything. I just don't get what people expect. Like, if you guys are the ones who know what happened and she's offering you up this chance to testify under oath, what's the problem? And they came out, I wouldn't even be saying this, but they came out with this crazy statement. So they hours after she put this out, they came out and they rejected her remarks outright. This is from Rusty Weiss, insisting her comments were a deflection of responsibility, not justice. But what's the deflection of responsibility? Rusty Weiss wrote, "This isn't a criticism of the survivors or victims, but rather a criticism of whoever is representing them. It's clear they didn't listen to Melania's remarks and instead rushed to politicize it themselves. The First Lady did the exact opposite of what the letter is alleging. Far from dodging accountability, she explicitly offered to help the survivors by demanding they finally be heard." But here's where I'm concerned. Do they want to be heard? Because that's okay. Like, Jared, that's another part of this. That's okay. If you've been victimized by Jeffrey Epstein or any of these people, you 100%, you have a right to say, it's too painful for me. I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to talk about it. That's 100% your right. But I do think that the people here who are being dragged in as part of this sordid conspiracy, or not even conspiracy, or this sordid like Epstein Island stuff, I do think that if they start to get dragged in and they don't feel that they had anything to do with it, they can put that out there too. Like, now Melania can't come out and say, this, I'm being completely smeared here by lies, and she's the one who's failing to act responsibly? Doesn't track for me. There's something about this. And perhaps she's just getting ahead of a giant hit piece. Maybe that's what it is. But I was perplexed by the reaction from the victims here, saying that by her suggesting they come in front of Congress and testify under oath, that is somehow an attack, or somehow her protecting Epstein or protecting these pedophiles. Make that one make sense. It's not adding up for me. We'll be right back. We'll do the poll question. I want to talk about George Conway. So much more. Stay with us.
Curley Show is on the air.
The Jared knows. He looks at me. He goes, she does not. She's going to go right into another story. But no, Jared, I'm going to read the poll question. Don't you worry. I got your back. Today's poll question is brought to you by Lean. Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. So what if you're looking to lose weight but not interested in the painful weekly injections and possible intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. Get started with 20% off when you enter Grace at TakeLean.com. That's code Grace at TakeLean.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is how do you get your news? Newspaper / reading, radio, X / social media, TV / cable news, or podcasts?
This is tough. Mine's kind of a mix of all of them, but for the sake of the poll question...
work in media.
Yeah, so. I'm going to say that the primary one, Jared, is for me reading. Not to sound like, ooh, I read. It's not even that. I read a lot of stuff very quickly, but I have kind of pivoted to reading online articles only because on social media, I've noticed something. I've noticed this trend, and I don't know if any, maybe this is too in the weeds for my Twitter peeps, but I've noticed this very annoying trend of people posting videos that are like months old and pretending that they're new and going, oh my gosh, did you see this crazy clip of Jennifer Seibel Newsom saying, did you see this clip of Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut saying that illegal aliens are more important than American citizens? And they're not fake cuts. They're not AI, but they are not fresh. And as someone who's doing a show every day, I'll send them to Taylor and I'll go, whoa, look at this Chris Murphy cut. And then Taylor will write back to me and go, I'll pull it, but just so you know, this is old. And I feel so dumb. And I'm like, why are you guys doing this? I know why, Jared, because it just regenerates. It's like they're just posting it and then they're getting
clicks.
It must have done well 3 months ago, so why not post it again? But it's annoying and it's deceitful and I do not like it. So I've pivoted. That's a long way of me saying I've pivoted to reading.
14% of the audience say newspaper / reading. 29% for radio. Yay.
Yeah.
29% also for TV cable news, 17% for X / social media, and 12% for podcasts. And another thing I'll say about social media.
Please
this
do.
X specifically, I used to really like the For You tab.
Yeah.
Because there's like people you're following and then the For You. But now it is just, the For You has just been junked up and it's.
Oh, I never do
just
For
stuff
You.
Stuff that I, for a while it was really good, but I don't know what changed. Now it's. Unscrollable, I guess.
That's going to be the word of the year. Yeah. Unscrollable.
Unscrollable.
Yeah, I have found that on X. You know, someone asked me the other day, Jared. I was like telling them about working in radio, and they said, "Oh, do you find that you have to do a lot of corrections, or do you get nervous running with something?" And I was kind of laughing because I said, no, I don't have that problem because I'm a patient person when it comes to like letting someone else break. I don't want to be the first person to break a story. Okay. That's why I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator. I'm a radio host. But I don't ever want to be the first one. And in fact, if someone sends me something, Jared, and is like, look at this, just broke, I like to wait for two or three places to run with it. The only one I could think of recent time where we got something wrong, and I'm not even going to say that because we didn't get it wrong, was the dog story, where everyone was like, look at these dogs, they escaped, these evil dog eating bandits. And I saw that story and I talked about it because I didn't believe it was real. But places like the New York Post had already run with it. But I think if you're obsessed with getting there first and making a splash, then you're going to run into, or if you're just obsessed with, you know, smearing Donald Trump at all costs, you're going to run into correcting yourself quite a bit and having to apologize and retract, which brings me to really quickly back here, because I promise I'm not going to talk about this Melania stuff, but I do find it kind of fascinating. Melania came out, if you missed this, let's play a little bit of the sound, Jared, please. I want to play the part about the survivors. This is cut 6.
Now is the time for Congress to act. Epstein was not alone. Several prominent male executives resigned from their powerful positions after this matter became widely politicized. Of course, this doesn't amount to guilt, but we still must work openly and transparently to uncover the truth. I call on Congress to provide the women who have been victimized by Epstein with a public hearing specifically centered around the survivors. Give these victims their opportunity to testify under oath in front of Congress with the power of sworn testimony. Each and every woman should have her day to tell her story in public if she wishes, and then her testimony should be permanently entered into the congressional record. Then, and only then, we will have the truth. Thank you.
Yeah, so one of the criticisms I saw from Sam Stein on social media, he said, oh, I'm just coming up for air. What was the point of that Melania address? As if she got out there and didn't call for something very specifically. It seems like the call to action there, at least as far as I could see, was pretty clear. She's asking Congress to have this testimony for Epstein survivors where they can share their stories and explain what happened to them under oath in a protected public testimony. And then I see people replying with a story from the Daily Beast being like, oh, see, the Daily Beast has... The Daily Beast! If you're tweeting out stories today from the Daily Beast and how they have a story up to, Jared, where they're saying that the reason Melania Trump did this address is bad, and they're coming up with all these stories generated from this address that she gave yesterday to once again smear her. She mentioned the Daily Beast in this address because they had to take down a story that alleged that Melania Trump met her husband, President Trump, through a modeling agent who was connected to Jeffrey Epstein. They lied about that, and they were forced to take it down. And they had to put out an editor's note apologizing for, here's the quote, any confusion. And that was after Melania's lawyers contacted the outlet. And today what they're doing, this publication that she just mentioned for saying all these people have been lying about me is now coming out and using that as, she's running scared. There's something amiss here. There's something bad happening. No, she just doesn't like you lying about it. And one final thing on this. And I've been trying to make this point for the last few minutes here, but it's like, these victims have every right to share their story or to not share their story. But I don't think it's also fair that Melania Trump has to sit back as everyone claims that not only was she connected to Jeffrey Epstein, but that she was a victim of this human trafficking when she knows that not to be true and she's not allowed to come out and say it. And it's kind of the perfect play here for Democrats because they can accuse Trump and Melania of whatever they want. And there's really no way to prove this negative of like, no, we aren't involved in this trafficking. And yeah, the FBI was getting tips from people leading up to the election that were not substantiated in the slightest. And so now you're going to use this. There's so many people online who, if in any argument with Trump, it's the new inject bleach into the vaccines, Jared. Well, they'll just throw out these things. Like, well, he's a pedophile. He's involved with Jeffrey Epstein. What are you basing that off of? Are you basing that off of an unsubstantiated claim that the FBI got years ago and that they never followed up on? Because if that's the new bar, then everyone's in a lot of trouble here. And I think that's part of why she came out to say, hey, if you want to come out and you want to name people specifically, that's fine. But we're not going to sit here and have the whole world smear Melania Trump and say that she met her husband through Jeffrey Epstein when it's not true. All right. I think I've beaten this horse enough. I think he's dead now. We'll not come back to that, actually, because I have something else I want to talk about. I want to talk about this clip, and I'll play Stephanie Roll at some point. But this is a clip that I saw this morning of George Conway, and it kind of got me thinking. George Conway used to be married to Kellyanne Conway. Jared, I think they're divorced. I remember during the first Trump administration, it was a huge deal that their daughter was making videos and she was really hating on her mom, and people loved it. Like they loved Kellyanne Conway's daughter because she had such a bad relationship with her mom. It was really sad. It was like the Democrat, you know, the Democrat dream in a nutshell. And George Conway, married to Kellyanne Conway, he has extreme Trump derangement syndrome. He's like one of the classic TDS afflicted people out there. And so he was doing this podcast. I don't know who these two white women were. It's not Jennifer Welch and her sidekick, but it's similar. Two angry liberal white women. And he's talking about donating to Joe Biden's victory fund. Let's play this.
I was asked by a friend of mine who's who raises money for Democrats to speak at a big Democratic fundraiser for what was then the Biden victory fund. And I remember I was actually driving out to my friend John Gardner's house out in Maryland. And I was thinking about, well, how much money should I give to the Biden campaign for this thing where I'm going to be the headline spokesperson and asking other people to give, you know, and I thought I'd give, you know, a lot of money, but a reasonable amount of money. And then I started thinking about it, and it's like, you know, I mean, this is supposed to, it's money that my kids would otherwise inherit. And I started thinking about that. So what am I going to give? And then I just thought about it. Well, what do I want my kids to inherit? And I literally was in tears. I pulled over to the side of the road, and I was in tears thinking about this. And it's like, I want my kids. It makes me misty-eyed even today. I want my kids to inherit a democracy. It's more important than money, and that society that I'm gonna give the legal maximum, which was like $929,600, and you know, it's just more important. It's just more important, and that's why I did that, and that's why, you know, I'm 62 years old. I should be out in Park City skiing or something like that, and I should be really, really retired. But I could never live myself if I didn't do everything I could to help get rid of this, you know what.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure that's one reason you decided to run for Congress.
It's the reason, actually. The reason.
Beautiful. Beautiful. There's so much here I could unpack, Jared. The crying over an election, I'm here to tell people, and there's really no exceptions to this, the crying over the election stuff, unless you're running in the election, and even then, get it together, but if you're crying over someone else losing an election, it's a sign of a deeper problem. I've had elections where I've been really bummed out. And maybe when I put my head on my pillow, did I let out like a frustration or something like that in the privacy of my own home behind closed doors. But if I was ever getting misty-eyed over an election on camera, my family would kindly tell me to get a grip. You're embarrassing us. Please stop.
Yeah.
Come back to earth. Touch grass. Reconnect. Disconnect to reconnect. Shut off your phone. Get off Twitter, Grace. It's enough. Enough's enough. We did not raise you to be crying over politics. Okay, that's number one. Number two, it seems like in this cut, what stood out to me, a few things, but one of them is he really wants us to know about the exact dollar amount. He remembers it, which makes me think that he obviously regrets it, because I don't think that if you thought it was such a great thing and you're actually proud of it, you would have it burned into your brain like that. But it wasn't enough to say I wrote a really big check. He has to give us the exact amount. And my question is, does he want us to feel bad for him, or are we supposed to be impressed? And then I really started to think about it, and I thought, this is so strange. This is so sad for this person. I feel really bad for him. But it is like he wants us to be impressed. And it made me realize these TDS people, one of their pastimes has become this competitive hating of Trump. Like, who hates him more? I pulled over on the side of the road and I cried. Well, I cried every day since the election started. Well, I haven't talked to my daughter in 6 years over Trump. And it's like they all want us to be so impressed that they hate Trump more than their friends who hate Trump hate Trump. Congrats. Your life seems very empty and very, very sad, but at least you hate him the most. We'll be back. I'll take your calls on this. Everybody's talking about weight loss injections because the results are so dramatic. They work by lowering blood sugar and reducing appetite. So what if you're looking to lose weight, but you're not interested in painful weekly injections, especially when you hear about some of those intense side effects? That's why doctors created a weight loss supplement called Lean, and the results are remarkable. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to 1, lower your blood sugar. 2, burn fat by converting it into energy. And 3, curb your appetite and cravings so you're not as hungry. But listen, Lean is not for the casual dieter with only a few pounds to lose. The doctors at Brickhouse Nutrition created Lean for frustrated dieters with 10 or more pounds to lose. Let's get you started with 20% off and free rush shipping so you can add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise plan. Here's what I want you to do. Visit TakeLean.com and enter Grace for your discount. That's promo code Grace at TakeLean.com. We'll be right back.
The Grace Curley Show will return. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone. I also want to read this tweet from Tim Miller. He writes for The Bulwark, which is like another version of The Daily Beast. He said, "Why can't the first lady speak English? It's been 10 years since her husband ran for president. Consider getting a tutor." And he's getting a lot of, I would say, warranted pushback, where people are saying just because she has an accent doesn't mean that she can't speak English. And if that's the new thing, then... I mean, I just don't think that's very PC to say. But beyond that, it reminds me of the Kelly Osbourne, you know, where you say something and you think it's like you become so progressive that you're actually racist, or you become so progressive. Who's going to clean your toilets, Donald Trump? And then everyone goes, ooh, not what you thought. Like making fun of someone who has an accent. She speaks, what, 5 or 6 languages? And this is the all they have now is that she's dumb?
Well, he was probably trying to be ironic about the people who are like, you know, these... I don't know, whatever, these illegal aliens have been here for 25 years and they still need interpreters. So I think he was trying to be ironic about that in a very unclever way. But yeah, I mean, maybe she is speaking English, albeit with an accent.
Yeah, but that's not cool anymore for The Bulwark. Chris, you're up next on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty disingenuous statement. She said that Epstein was not alone. So if she knows that... why doesn't she come in and testify under oath? How does she know that? She must know a name of somebody. And if
she must, right? Because no one else has said that he's worked with other people,
well,
right?
She said
Ghislaine Maxwell is in jail because she was helping Jeffrey Epstein do this human trafficking. So I know that. Does that mean I have to testify too?
And she even said, like, you know, many men have resigned over their association with him.
Right.
Like,
I'm confused by
stuff.
I'm confused.
But her husband was the biggest pedophile, sex trafficker's best friend. He's mentioned the most.
Right. Is that why he threw him out of Mar-a-Lago? Is that what best friends do, Chris? Why did he throw him out of Mar-a-Lago if they were best friends?
He didn't throw him out of Mar-a-Lago. Where are you getting your research?
Oh, he didn't throw him out of Mar-a-Lago. Thank you, Chris. We're all set. Because that's an actual fact, my friend. You're allergic to it. He did throw him out of Mar-a-Lago. And he threw him out of Mar-a-Lago long before a lot of your heroes in the Democrat Party even said a bad word about him. And by the way, Chris, some of your Democrat heroes were texting Jeffrey Epstein as recently as 2019. I'm talking years and years and years after he was a convicted sex offender. So if you want to start playing this game of pointing the finger and calling Trump a pedophile, you got to do your research, Chris, and don't do it at the Daily Beast, and don't do it at the Bulwark. Look up actual news stories and you will see that Donald Trump did in fact kick Jeffrey Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago.
And Donald Trump was mentioned a lot in these files because he was the president of the United States at the time. That guy gets talked about a lot, especially when a bunch of the people that were trying to undermine him were buddies with Epstein.
Yeah, and like, you know what? You know what? Here's one. CNBC, he said, you know, where are you getting your stories? Trump banned Jeffrey Epstein from Mar-a-Lago after sex criminal hit on member's daughter. This is a book claims. This is August 2020. And so there's plenty of sources here about the banishment before Epstein pled guilty in 2008.